We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of 30 Minutes of Hell. I am your host, Brandon Baker, and I'm joined, as always, by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. Quick reminder, we are brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us there on YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your stuff at, under 30 Minutes of Hell. And we appreciate you guys tuning in to talk some Razorback hoops with us. Unfortunately, it was another bad week for Arkansas. They went 0-2. Finished with a pretty strong performance on the road against Mississippi State, but had just a brutal loss earlier in the week to Tennessee. It was at 92-63, that game against Tennessee. And honestly, it was kind of weird because Arkansas looked really good in the first half. They only trailed by 6 points going into the halftime break. We saw some pretty good things in the first half, thought that they had a pretty good chance at least being competitive in that game, and then just got like boat race in the second half. I think the second half score was 46-23 in favor of Tennessee. They doubled up Arkansas in scoring in the half. And that I had actually just done some research on some scoring stats between the first half and second half in Razorback games this year, and kind of looking at the whole Musselman era and the first 4 years that he was here versus this year. And it's been just like a pretty glaring drop off in production in the second half. And I always used to think of him as like a mid-game adjustments, like a master at doing that. And this year it just hasn't been there. And I don't know if you can put it all on him, if it's, you know, the team itself just hasn't gelled like we continually talked about. I think it's to the fault of a lot of people, but it's been very noticeable that the second half of games have just been bad. And this was a very clear example of it again against Tennessee. Mark led the team in scoring, 12 points. Didn't really shoot well though, 40% from the field. Devo and his, you know, he's still coming back, getting back into game shape. He played the entire game without committing a turnover, so that was kind of nice. We talked about last episode about how he has kind of continued to let the game come to him and not force things. Still scored 8 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, a couple steals. I thought that he did okay, as well as he could have done in a game where you lose by almost 30. But can't be too mad at his performance. But other than that, just not a good shooting day. Not a lot of players doing what we wanted. Just a terrible second half. What did you guys think about this game?
Yeah, Brandon, kind of going back to what you were saying about this season just being a roller coaster in the second half, playing so horribly in the second half. And I've said it to y'all. I've said it for the last, I couldn't tell you how many years, Arkansas's a second half team. So it's so weird to get to this year and we're not really a first half, not really a second half team, but a terrible second half team. And that's exactly what was shown against Tennessee. Tennessee is obviously a terrific team. They're a Final Four team, a potential title team with Kinect and all the guys surrounding him. But you pretty much touched on all of my thoughts. We were murdered in the paint. I think the points in the paint were 48 from Tennessee. We just could not get any stops in there. They also, you know, killed us in the rebound battle as well. We shot 26% in the second half compared to, let me see, what was our first half shooting? 52% in the first half. So that, I mean, it's a major drop off in a half. I don't know if Tennessee got that better over the course of halftime or if we just kind of gave up a close game. I mean, what can y'all remind me, what were we down at halftime? 4 or 6 points? Is
It
that what the
was six.
Six, yeah,
down
because
six
it was eight, and that was the weird call where they went back and reviewed a goaltend, and it ended up just being six, yeah.
And then we ended up losing by 32. So that's pretty ridiculous. I guess if we do want to, give a little bit of a high point to all of our lows. We did have a season high in steals as a team this year, with I think it was 12 steals total. Is that right?
Yep.
But other than that, not much to write home about.
Guys, I said that we could let Connect get his own, but don't let somebody score 18 on us. Well, we let Adu score 23, 23, and then Gainey with 18 minutes, played 18 minutes, scored 17.
He was the surprise to me. Yeah,
Yeah,
he was the guy that you were
so
talking about. Yeah.
yeah, and yeah, I mean, we just let people kill us that aren't supposed to, as far as a specific player. I mean, really, the fact that Connect got 22 only is shocking to me. So that was a rough game. I will say, first half, like, I think everyone was thinking was good, surprisingly good comparative to what we expected. But overall, that second half just made me want to turn the game off. And I was impressed with how we took blows in the first half and came back and kept it a single digit game. But there's not really much good to talk about in this one.
Yeah. But then Arkansas had a pretty good competitive outing on the road against Mississippi State, came very close to picking up their second road SEC win of the year. Actually led this game by a point with under a minute to go and ended up losing by only four. Moral victories, theme of the season, I guess. But competitive game and got to start with Mekhi Mitchell. Career high, 21 points, contributed also 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals. 1 assist, shot 67% from the field, 100% from the free throw line, only one turnover all game. He did end up fouling out in this game, but that was really like the only negative that you can point to. I mean, he just had a great game playing against Mississippi State, and Tolu Smith has been their best player, a pretty good rebounder, really good player in the SEC. He only went 2 of 6 in this game from the field, scored 8 points, most of them coming on free throws. He had 8 rebounds, which is below his average, or below what he's been averaging lately, maybe not over his season average, but held him pretty well in check. And that's kind of what Arkansas has been good at this year, is even against good players, they found a way to limit the best players. And then exactly what Matt said, you let somebody random come in and hurt you and do the rest of the damage. But great game from Makai. I love to see him playing confident like that. He's had a pretty good stretch of games lately. I know he only had, I think, 1 point in 11 minutes versus Tennessee, but aside from that, he scored double digits in 5 of the last 6 games, been doing really well rebounding the ball, a good rim protector, being pretty good, willing to pass the ball when he catches it, in the roll off of a pick and roll situation. Just, I really like who he is as a player, and I think we've really seen it lately that he's just really stepped up and played how he's capable of. We haven't always seen it, whether it be foul trouble, whether it be maybe not showing enough effort, maybe not making quick enough decisions at times. We've seen reasons for him to not always be on the court, but man, when he's on, he's fun to watch. Like, he's been really good the last couple games. And then a really good game, the best game so far in SEC play for Caleb Battle. Finished with 18 points, had really good intensity on both sides of the ball. He was kind of flying all over the place on defense. He's just not known as a great, lockdown defender, but he's giving effort. He's really trying, and that's something that we haven't seen from everybody on this team. And so 18 points, a couple assists, a couple rebounds, got to the free throw line 6 times, shot over 50% from the field. Really good game from Battle. And another good game from L. Ellis, another, you know, decent game. Some people might be mad at the missed turnover at the end, but I think the Hogs were down three when he missed that first free throw. And that was a very weird situation because there was only a few seconds left and he was going to have to make the first free throw and then intentionally miss the second one to try to give them a chance to rebound. And so, like, that was already a long shot to begin with, and he missed the first free throw, so it didn't go our way. But overall, good game from him. 8 points, four assists, had a positive plus minus. What did you guys see in this game? Maybe some actual high points, even in the loss. We saw a lot of good things from this game.
Whenever Mitchell plays well, Arkansas plays well. I mean, that's the, I feel like, the highlight of the season. Whenever he's doing really well, we're playing really well, and I want to see more consistency, I guess, from him as far as not getting into foul trouble where you have to take him out, and maybe Musselman let him make a mistake and not pull him out like we've seen in the past. But overall, really like seeing what Mitchell did. And really, once again, that second half still didn't look like phenomenal like we wanted to, but definitely better than we have seen it. And tough loss, big three by Mississippi State to bring them up. There's not really anything else other than heartbreak and trying to figure out what to do, like Brandon said, with the free throw long shot. Oh well.
Yeah, I'll touch on this here in our next segment, but I texted you both during the game, the Mississippi State game, and said that I think Mitchell is our second best player this year. And I stand by that. I truly do. I'll get into some more metrics here later, but he played incredible. You both mentioned the foul trouble and him fouling out. He was in foul trouble and he did foul out, but it was on the last possession of the game. Right. I didn't see how many total minutes he played. Was it 30, 22, almost 23 minutes? So, I mean, good showing by Mitchell. Career high in points, and almost another double-double for the season. Played incredibly well. Was the reason that the game was as close as it was, in my opinion, alongside Caleb Battle. But outside of rebounding, overall great game from the Hogs. Kept it a lot, especially after the blowout that we saw against Tennessee, kept it a lot closer than I expected them to. We just couldn't pull it out there at the end. They Mississippi State hit a really, really tough three and just pulled it out. One thing that we do have to touch on is that rebounding battle. I, again, texting y'all during the game, at one point they had more offensive rebounds than we had defensive rebounds. And I understand they're a great offensive rebounding team. They're a great rebounding team in general. But we, at any point, can never, ever let a team have more offensive rebounds than we have defensive rebounds. That's just, you know, there's nothing more I can say about that. And we ended the game, Mississippi State having 17 total offensive rebounds and us having 19 total defensive rebounds, which is, again, just horrible. But how could you not be happy with the play from Battle, Mackay, and Ellis? Ellis, we've touched on the last couple podcasts, he's really stepped up. Even if his stat sheet doesn't show it, he's playing a lot better than what he started the season out as. And I also want to, you know, give some props to Devo. I think he only had 8 points, maybe two of three from deep. But those two threes were pivotal threes. I think his first one came in the first half when Mississippi State was kind of going on a run. He closed the gap and kind of put us on a little bit of a run. And then that second three was really something to give us another big boost, kind of turn the tides a little bit in favor of the Razorbacks. Just kind of that guy who stepped up in the big moments. I hate that it ended with, you know, kind of a turnover by him when he had a chance to, you know, kind of win the game for us or at least, you know, give us a fighting chance. But it is what it is. It's basketball. He played a great game. The Razorbacks overall played a really good game outside of a few minor things. But, you know, you lose some, you lose some in the case of this season.
Right.
Yeah, well, up next, Arkansas. it's kind of been the case this season where the schedule doesn't get a lot easier, but it actually has some winnable games here down the stretch. We've got six games left, and I think four of them are winnable games. Obviously, don't expect to win all four of them, but up next we go to Texas A&M, a team that we've already beaten once this year. It's hard to beat a team twice, especially because they were without one of their starters last time we played at home. So maybe not predicting a win in this one, but more of a winnable game than maybe some other games against, like, Tennessee or somebody like that. And then you still got LSU, Missouri, and Vanderbilt still left on the schedule out of those six games. So Arkansas at least has an opportunity to maybe close out their season on a little bit of an uphill, or a positive note after what's just been disappointing all around. But up next on the schedule is Texas A&M, and we're going to get into more of a preview of that and talk a little bit about what happened in that first game and what we want to see this time. But first, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Arkansas goes to Texas A&M on Tuesday night to play. I think that game starts at 6 o'clock, will be televised on ESPN, and it's a rematch. Arkansas won the first game in dramatic fashion. What a game that was. Arkansas led big early in that game against Texas A&M. I think they were up by 20 in the first half at one point. Let the Aggies climb all the way back into it. Wade Taylor just went crazy in the second half and hit a wild off-balance three-pointer to give them the lead with 7 seconds left, which set the stage for Tremont Mark to go coast to coast and hit that game-winning floater to give Arkansas the one-point lead. Just one of the most dramatic games you can imagine. But it gave Arkansas, I believe, their first SEC win of the season. And we kind of hoped that might have been a turning point at the time. Obviously, didn't really turn out that way, but Arkansas played really well in that game. Mark had a career-high 35 points plus the game-winner. Wade Taylor had a career-high 41 points plus an almost game winner if it hadn't been for Tremont Mark's heroics. Just a lot of weird and crazy stuff going on in this game. And I think the thing that we probably need to focus on most is that the Aggies were without Henry Coleman, who's a 6'7", kind of a beast in the paint, only averages 10 points, almost 7 rebounds a game, but almost 3 offensive rebounds per game. And Texas A&M is, by a wide margin, the best offensive rebounding team in the country, not just in the conference. I was looking earlier, and I think that the gap between them and the number two offensive rebounding team is just as big as the gap between number two and number eight in the country. That's how, wow. That's like the discrepancy. That's how much of a difference there is in the offensive rebounding battle there. So does not bode well for Arkansas because the Hogs have struggled at times to keep teams off the offensive glass, including A&M, even in this last game that they played. But I believe now the tally is Arkansas is 10-2 when they out-rebound their opponents, and they've now dropped to 2-11 when they get out-rebounded. So, I mean, you can't get much more accurate than that when just looking at one stat trying to predict a basketball game. That's been a very telling stat for Arkansas this whole season. And so playing against Texas A&M, Coleman's a good offensive rebounder. Tyrese Boots Radford, great offensive rebounder for his size, always creates mismatches, being able to play a lot of positions on the court. I think they've got like 3 or 4 guys that are averaging at least 2.5 offensive rebounds a game. That's really the key. That's it. I mean, we got to slow down Boots Radford again. You got to try to limit Wade Taylor a little bit. He's one of the best point guards in the country. But if you can't keep them off the glass, nothing else matters. You have to be able to limit them on the board enough to give yourself a shot in this game. And that also extends. I wanted to throw out real fast, Anderson Garcia, a guy that is probably not at the top of the scouting report for a lot of teams, but I think he leads his team in rebounds with like 9 a game. Scored 10 points on us on 100% shooting last time out. Grabbed 12 rebounds, including 5 offensive rebounds. Had a couple of block shots. Had the highest plus or the second highest plus minus on the team. Just really was that one guy that we talked about in the last segment. We always let that one guy that's not usually a star come in and kick our butts. And it was him last game. And so I'm curious to see if there's an adjustment there or if you still just throw all your dogs at Wade Taylor and Boots Radford because now you've also got Coleman to deal with. So I'm a little curious what the strategy is going into this game, but it should be hopefully a good one. I hope Arkansas can still be competitive in this one after giving them a good game the first time around. But what are you guys really looking for from Arkansas in this game?
Yeah, I want 20 or more minutes for Mitchell. He played 4 minutes against them in the last matchup, and I mentioned earlier how I think that he's been our second best player this season. And when he plays 20 or more minutes, I truly believe that based on these stats. So over 9 games where he's played 20 or more minutes, 7 of these being SEC games, he's averaged 12 points per game off 60% shooting. 7.8 rebounds a game, so let's just call it 8, and 2 blocks per game. So you've got a guy averaging 12 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, and 2 blocks a game when he plays 20 or more minutes, and you're telling me that he's only played 20 or more minutes 9 times this season. I'm sure Musselman has a reason for this inconsistency of minutes, not only for Mitchell, but for the team as a whole. But I truly think that, I mean, Matt, you mentioned it earlier. When Mekhi plays well, the Hogs play well. We need to get him these 20 minutes to where, I mean, we see it in the stats. He's putting up great numbers. He's putting up starter numbers, but he's not getting starter minutes. But I want to see that from Mitchell. Brandon, you already touched on it. Coleman being back is going to be huge for A&M. You know, obviously we didn't see him in the first matchup, but we also can't forget about Garcia. I don't know if I'd go as far to say as, you know, he's a nobody who will, you know, murder us or anything, but he's had huge rebounding games the entire season. You said it earlier, put up 12 rebounds against us with 5 offensive boards, but he also had 12 against Bama their last game that they ended up getting blown out in. He had 17 against Tennessee, incredible, 16 against Mizzou, and I mean that, you know, that's just the last couple games. So he's an excellent rebounder, not someone that we need to forget about, even with, you know, Coleman coming back to the lineup. It's going to be interesting to see how or if the Hogs are able to keep this team off the glass, especially without Brazil. You know, he's been kind of gone for the last, has it been 6 games at this point?
Six,
Seven
yeah.
games, 6 games. So we really need Lawson and Graham, if Graham plays this next game, to step up in a big way, to put a body on somebody and just really, like, it needs to be something where they find their guy, they put a body on them immediately. Like, don't worry about anyone else. Like, find their number and put a body in him. Just, I know it's easier said than done. You know, we've all played basketball. We've all gotten our butts chewed out for not putting, you know, not putting a box out down. But really, really want to focus on those two guys and, you know, Boots, one of the best rebounding guards in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, of course, rebounding, it's a big deal no matter what level of basketball you're at. I remember, and even in 2K games, they're like, well, you know, I'm going with the guy with the team that's going to have the most rebounds at the end of the game. That's usually how it goes. And them being the most, one of the best offensive rebounding team, is not good after what we just saw against Mississippi State, having just as many offensive rebounds as we had defensive rebounds. So I'm really hoping that we can at least limit it. I don't expect to out rebound it, but maybe we can get that win column up a little bit from 2 wins to 3 wins. But yeah, get
Maybe
Mitchell
3 to 4,
in.
Matt. Give us
Oh,
some
3 to 4.
feedback
My
on here.
bad. My bad. Anyway, that sounds great. That sounds even better, Brandon. 4 wins. But anyway, yeah, I just want to see aggressiveness. I hope it's the Razorback team we got against Mississippi State. I hope it's the Razorback team we got against Texas A&M the first time. Of course, like Joey mentioned, no Brazil. Okay, we've been doing it six games. Let's see if we could keep going and just play hard.
Yeah, and Arkansas has looked actually competitive in four of those six games. I know two of them ended up being losses, a close loss to Kentucky and then this close loss to Mississippi State, but then two wins also. So competitive, at least, in most of these games.
And, I mean, that's the end of the day. Be competitive and work hard, and don't let Wade Taylor get 41. All right? Like, he will get his. He will get his, but just not 41. Please, anything but 41 and a game winner. So...
I don't know. They did lose to who was it?
Vandy, didn't they?
Vanderbilt.
Go Vandy. Yeah. Woo.
Well, right after this game, Arkansas then gets another shot at Missouri, another rematch later in the week on Saturday. And this one will be at home for Arkansas. And that should be an interesting game, hopefully a win. I think that Missouri is still winless in the SEC, if I'm not mistaken. And just a game that Arkansas really needs to win. I know that it was a single-digit victory the last time that these teams met, but Missouri is just on a heck of a losing streak, and you can't drop that game at home, even in the midst of a season like this. So not going to go too in-depth on that one yet right now, but just in the back of my head, you know, can't lose that game coming up on Saturday. But
we shouldn't even have to worry about that, man.
I think Missouri is one of two teams. I think it's Missouri and Vanderbilt that are currently ranked lower than Arkansas in like the normal metrics. So hopefully we keep it that way.
Yeah.
But anyways, so that's all we got for this preview right now. And then we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with a little bit of fun in the podcast today. It's been real negative lately, but we're going to have a little bit of it's NBA All-Star weekend. So we're going to have some All-Star themed questions and have a little discussion around some former Razorbacks with some of these fun questions after one more quick break. So we'll be right back. All right. So it is currently NBA All-Star weekend. So I thought that we should go in and talk about maybe how some of these events would look if we filled them up with former Razorbacks. And so we're going to look a little bit at what would be our ideal three-point contest, our ideal dunk contest, and then make a starting five out of players from just the Musselman era for an all-star team. And so first, we're going to start with the three-point contest, an event that's kind of grown more popular over the last few years, just with how popular shooting threes has become. But there's been a lot of great shooters come through Arkansas recently and back in the heyday too. So I'm going to let Joey go first on this one and give us your ideal. We'll stick with like six players, five to six players, your ideal six players, your lineup for the 3-point contest. And then afterwards we'll talk about who would win it.
Yeah. I'm excited for this segment. I love the All-Star weekend. You're crazy if you as a fan of basketball don't like the NBA All-Star weekend, but for my Razorbacks in the 3-point contest, I chose Isaiah Joe. Love him, great shooter. Dusty Hannes, you know, grew up watching him, great shooter. Rodney Clark, I saw Rodney in my first ever Razorback game, so got to pick him. Scotty Thurman, Joe Johnson, and my man Joey P. Joseph Pinion, I think, could potentially be a dark horse for something like this. You know, we don't get a ton of him playing for the Razorbacks, but the kid can shoot. You can't argue it.
That's true. I like all six of these guys that you have listed here. One other guy that I thought about too adding, and I talked about him, I think, when we did our last TikTok thing, but Lee Mayberry, man.
Yeah.
He's an underrated guard, and he shot a high percentage, higher than I realized when I was doing some research. They didn't shoot just a ton of threes when he was playing, but he hit like over 40% or something like that during his day. So maybe another addition to the field. Matt, you got any names that you want to toss in the ring?
You know, based on how the three-point contest is with those further back threes, give me JD Notte.
Okay, I had him on my list just for the fact that if he comes in hot, he's going to take the whole thing.
Right, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you got those, what would they call this? You're the starry balls, and you shoot way back. And, I mean, it was kind of like watching JD Notte, you kind of like, oh, this is like Damian Lillard going up, just shooting from so far beyond the 3-point line, he's going to hit it. So every time Dame went over there, I was like, yep, that was going in.
Yeah. And you could almost say the same thing about Mason Jones, too. He wasn't mentioned onto this list, but another guy that was sometimes a streaky shooter, but could absolutely light it up when he got going. So
who do y'all think would win out of those eight guys that we just named?
So if we're talking just a 3-point contest format, not necessarily the best shooter, I like guys that don't have to go through much motion in their shot. They don't jump very high and they just have a clean, smooth shot. I think that I would be between either Isaiah Joe or maybe Dusty Hannes, but I think I would probably lean Isaiah Joe.
I'm definitely taking Rodney Clark. I'm going with Rodney.
Brandon, I kind of have the same thought process as you. I said Isaiah Joe or potentially Joe Johnson. You know, he's got a pretty smooth just catch and shoot form, but I do think Isaiah Joe would probably take it there.
Yeah, we'll probably catch some flack for not going Scottie Thurman there, but that's all right. I mean, all these guys are here for a reason. We're naming them for a reason, but it would definitely be a fun contest to watch.
If it was a clutch contest, give me Scottie, but
that's true. Yeah, if there's a clock ticking down, it's probably Scottie. All right, so let's move on then. Up next, let's talk about the dunk contest. It used to probably be the most popular event. Maybe has lost a little luster in the actual NBA lately, but a lot of fun names to talk about from current or like recent Razorbacks, I mean, but also throughout recent history too. Matt, let's go to you on this one. Give me your four guys that would make up your dunk contest.
All right, starting out, of course, you have to pick him, Ricky Council. He's gonna be there. Number two, I'm gonna go with one that I don't know if you guys have in there, but I want Daniel Gafford. Okay, give me Gafford. Give me a big man. Okay, then Michael Qualls. Okay, give me Qualls, and then Jordan Walsh.
There
I
we
need Jordan Walsh.
go, my
Just
man.
give me some athletes, big time athletes. Okay, so those are my big four right there.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Joey, do you got any other names that you would want to throw in the ring in that contest?
Matt named three of mine. I'd also like to throw Brazil in there. I mean, the dude's a freak athlete. A name that I don't have on my list but want to mention is Sonny Weems.
Absolutely.
I think people forget about him, but that dude could dunk.
Absolutely. Because I think he's probably one of the few that actually competed in the college slam dunk contest whenever he was here. I think he won it, if I recall. I know he was in the finals, but definitely a good dunk contest participant there. One more name I wanted to throw out, a little bit more of an old school name, Brandon Dean, a smaller guard that could really get up and throw down. So for all you young kids that may not know, you better look him up. Look up the highlights, man. The dude could fly. But all right, so who do you guys think would win this one? I'm worried that we might all be just in a unanimous agreement here, but who do you got winning this dunk contest?
Ricky Council's taking a 50 for every dunk he does.
It's hard to just his build alone. I mean, he's perfect dunk contest candidate.
Yeah, I got to go with Ricky too. He's one of the greatest to ever do it at Arkansas, just in terms of raw athleticism. Dunk, he could dunk off of both feet, off of 1 foot, on the fast break, on top of people, and train. It doesn't matter what the situation is. And I know that he's creative enough to pull it off. So I think we're all going Ricky there. All right. So moving on, last question for today. And I'll take this one and let you guys fill in what you might think, what you would might change over my starting five. But my all-star starting five, and we're just limiting this to just the Musselman era because there's just too many great ones to really get into this discussion right here. But just in the Musselman era, my starting five for an all-star team would be, I think I'm taking JD Notae, Mason Jones, and Moses Moody at my guard spots. And then I'm going Jalen Williams and Justin Smith at my forward spots. And that's my five that I think it's. You can argue some other guys in some of those spots, but it's pretty hard to argue against any of those five, I think. Do you
Brandon
guys have
says,
any
argue
names?
with your mother.
You guys have any names you'd replace?
I do. I think Anthony Black deserves a nod there. Did you say JD Notae? I'm sorry. Did you say him
I
for one of
did,
your guard
yeah, I
spots?
had JD
Okay.
Notae, yep.
I do have Moses Moody, and I'm gonna say it just because he's one of my favorites. Jordan Walsh. I'm putting Jordan Walsh in my four spot. I love him. I think he's a freak athlete. I think he would make it fun. And he's one of my favorite Razorbacks of all time. He's probably one of my top three favorites. I know that's gonna be a hot take, and a lot of people aren't gonna like it, but he's in my all-star starting five.
I really like Brandon's. The one that I was going to say, if Brandon did not put him in there, was Smith, Justice Smith. I really enjoyed watching him, and he was part of our. It was kind of the beginning of the "Oh, we're back" moment for Arkansas basketball. I wish it would last a little bit longer, but
Yeah.
yeah, I really liked yours, Brandon. It aligns pretty well with mine.
It's hard to pick out the select few in a smaller list like that. Definitely love guys like Anthony Black, Walsh, some of those other guys. There's a lot that deserve the nod. It'd be pretty cool to actually sit down and go through a whole team of these guys, but I think that's pretty close to what the five I think would be. But all right, so that's all we got then for that segment today. It was kind of fun looking through All-Star Weekend, a little All-Star themed action there. But as always, we really appreciate you guys tuning in to talk some Razorback hoops with us. And a reminder that we are brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us there on YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your stuff under 30 Minutes of Hell. I have been your host, Brandon Baker, joined as always by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. And as always, go Hogs.
Thanks, everyone.